Well, I was thinking he was going to give me a little chance and time there after that wonderful song, but I think he wanted to get out the way. And I don't blame him. I really don't. Thank you all so much again for being here tonight. And I know you could be doing other things. Matter of fact, one of the things you could be doing is saying, where is our preacher? We're tired of listening to him. But I'm glad that you're here tonight. And I hope to be able to just get right into this message and be a blessing to you. A lot of times when you go places, you're asking yourself, okay, dear God, how do I know that I'm going to be right where you want me to be? I'm trusting you. I'm trying to get a hold of you. I want to make sure I'm saying what you'd have me to say. And, of course, the first song that God laid on my heart from tonight was when they sang, when you sang, we sang, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. That was where I looked at my wife and I said, God's letting me know we're okay. And then they just got through singing about, you know, can't even walk without you holding my hand. And that let me know that God is saying, here's where we need to be. Here's where we need to be. So take your Bibles and go to the book of Luke, if you don't mind. I told you this morning we'd be there, but again, you're still wondering if you're on point. Luke chapter number 15, and most of you, again, know these stories. You know the truth behind these stories. I know your preacher, of course, have shared a lot of things with you from this great truth, but I want to be able to bless a hope again tonight. Luke chapter 15. And beginning in verse number 11. I'll let you again stay seated because I want to read this best that I can. My wife always tells me, she says, I don't even know why you have glasses. You take them off. And the reason is because somebody told me that when you have glasses, people think you're smart. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, that's got to be a lie. But I've got this thing going on in my eyes. I got doctor's appointments, so I'll hopefully get some things corrected. But I want to read to you tonight. It's a long passage. So beginning in verse number 11, the Bible says in Luke 15, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Verse 25 now. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time any commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I just want to really simply talk to you tonight. Most of you, of course, know this as the prodigal son, the parable about the prodigal son. I want to talk to you tonight not about the prodigal son, but I want to talk to you tonight. I want you to get it personal. I told him this morning that when we read the scriptures, we ought to make it personal. And we ought to find some principle or something that we can practice. And here tonight, I want to add this here. We need to look at this and praise the Lord. Why? Because of who our Father is. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Our Father. Of course, you know how the motto prayer starts, and we know it's the motto prayer because the Lord's prayer is in John 17. But he says, our Father, which art in heaven. And so tonight, most of us, again, we know our Father, but from this text right here tonight, and I just want to encourage you just a little bit. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you because God has encouraged me with this text. It was a long time ago when I knew God had called me to preach, and I didn't want to preach. Joined the military, decided I was going to run away from God. After running from God for a little while, God would try to get my attention, and I wouldn't let him have it. I wouldn't surrender. I wouldn't do what God wanted me to do. And age 25, I told my wife, I said, God don't want me anymore. God's not talking to me anymore. Now, listen to me, because I told somebody the other day, and I even preached a series of messages about it. I didn't say that I thought God had left me, because he said he'd never leave me before, nor forsake me, but he quit talking to me. He quit begging me to do what he was asking me to do, calling me to do what he was asking me to do. But 3 years later, at age 28, I heard God's call once again. I got up from where I was. I went and surrendered and did what God told me to do, and I'm doing it now to this day. But the only reason I was able to do that was because of our Father. Our Father was kind to me. Our Father was treating me in a way that I didn't deserve to be treated. Our Father was still beckoning me, calling me to come and do what, again, I'm doing here right now. And I'm so glad that I have my Father in heaven who still is calling, who still is wanting, who still is using people like me. And I come to share this with you because maybe not that you've gotten out of the will of God, but like I did, but maybe sometimes you just wonder, what kind of God do we have when I do things opposite of the way God wants me to do them? When I, of course, fail God, and when I don't follow through with what God would have me to do, I'm so glad we have a Father, or we have a God in our life, like Jesus did for Peter when he got up from the grave. He said over in Mark 16:7, I want you to go get my disciples, but I want you to make sure you do one thing, and Peter. Most of you have heard that from, Peter was a disciple, but he wanted Peter to know, hey, Peter, I got some news for you. I still love you. I still want you. I'm still going to use you. And some of you today will say, I don't have any doubt about that. But I know every once in a while you get to a place where you need to just have the comfort and the encouragement to know that we've got a Father in heaven, not like other people in our lives. Tonight, I just want to simply talk to you and share with you this wonderful little thought that God gave to me is our Father. We pray. Father, thank you so much again for the great privilege of being here and to be able to take and share this thought, these few words with these your people. I realize that I've not been everything I'm supposed to be. I've not done everything the way I'm supposed to do it. But I'm so glad, dear God, that what I do does not depend on how you respond to me. Meaning, dear God, you have never again left me. You've never forsaken me. You've never, ever stopped looking for me to return back. And I just want to say thank you. I hope maybe today we can be an encouragement. Maybe we can help a family here tonight. Maybe we can help a church member tonight. Maybe we can help someone who is in leadership tonight to realize they're not in this alone. They still have you on their side. Please help us. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say it. Amen. Hey, do it for me real quickly. Go to the book of Lamentation, chapter number 3. Most of you know that verse, Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 22. I want to just get this started for you real night. I want you to really see what God is trying to help me to help you with tonight. In Lamentation chapter number 3, of course, we know this is Jeremiah, that old weeping prophet. And he's talking to the people of God. And he says this to them in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that song, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And I'm so glad that he is faithful. You know what? He's faithful even when we're not. He still loves us even when we don't love him. Matter of fact, in John chapter number 13, I want you to really get that down. Verse number 1, the Bible talks as Jesus was getting his disciples together and ready to leave here. It said he loved them to the end. And by the way, when you get over there to John 13, there was a little guy in there by the name of Judas. And the Bible said he still loved them. I want you to know something. You never lose the love of God. Matter of fact, God doesn't have to generate love. God doesn't have to re-stroke his love. He doesn't have to try to stiffen up his love. God just is love, he says to us in his word. Because why? Because again, he knows who we are. He knows we're going to fail him. He knows sometime we're going to let him down. But I'm so glad, even though I let God down, God never ever lets me down. Amen. I'm so glad I am a part of the family of God. Now, I want to do something here tonight by way of this text. I know most of you are saying, preacher, what are you going to get about out of this text here? We know he's our Father. We keep hearing about our Father. But there's some stuff I don't think we really understand about our Father. I don't think we really see the things that are in this text sometime when it comes to our Father. Yeah, we spend a lot of time on the Son. Yes, we do talk about the Father. Yes, we know there's another brother in the text. But I just want to kind of get it right down to the nitty-gritty of what God has given to us about our Father. Before I do, though, I want you to do this. Go to the book of John, if you would, please. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. And in John chapter number 8, verse number 44, the Bible says, ye are of your father. Who is that? The devil. So he says, ye are of your father. And by the way, that's not my father. Somebody say amen. That's not my father, the devil. And the Bible talks about your father or their father. And it says, then the lust of your father ye will do. He is the murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So the first thing by way of introduction, and this is introduction, I want you to understand, God gives a comparison for us. A comparison of your father or their father versus our father. Their father has this lust. Their father is this liar. Their father is this murderer. Aren't you so glad that that's not our father? Somebody say amen. In other words, their father, the devil, God says, I want you to do this for me so you can praise me, so you can be excited about me. I'm not like that father over there. That father over there, you can't trust. That father over there is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That father over there, I told you, be sober, be vigilant, because that's your adversary. That's the one who's attacking. That's the one who's attempting to knock you out of the race. And God says, that father over there, which is not your father, that's their father, your father, their father. He said, it's not like our father. Amen. But I want you to help you understand a little bit more. Take and go to the book of Genesis. God is doing a comparison for us right now. A comparison of their father, your father, as he says here in the Bible, compared to our father. Genesis chapter number 31. Most of you should be able to get there real quickly. Genesis chapter number 31. And the Bible lets us know, beginning in verse number 5. And there's more verses we can read over here in Genesis. But I just want to give you a few. The Bible says in Genesis 5, and he said unto them, this is, of course, Jacob getting ready to leave Laban and taking his wife with him. He said unto them, I see your father's, get this, your countenance. I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father. In other words, you got a father, I got a father, and your father's countenance is not toward me the same. But my father, who has a God, who of course is leading in his life, is different from your father. Have been with me. Now watch this, verse 6. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father, he says in verse 7, have deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Verse 8, if he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bore speckled. And if he said thus, the ring stake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring stake. Thus God have taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. In other words, he's talking to his wives. He said, that's your father. And your father ain't like the God of my father. My father's God is a different God. Your father, and of course, we know that Laban comes after him because they stole his gods. The gods of their father. They got a father who has gods. We've got a father who has gods. And aren't you glad again that our father is not like your father? Notice what he says here in Genesis. Boy, I'll tell you, God, just help me. God, Genesis chapter 31, look at verse 29. And it is in the power of the hand to do you hurt. This is Laban talking. But the God of your father. Wait a minute. I don't think you got it. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Laban is talking to Jacob. He said, but the God of Your father spake unto me yesterday night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good nor bad. In other words, boy, I'm telling you something. Get the comparison of your father and our father. Again, their father versus our father. Their father and their heritage and our father and our heritage. And all of a sudden, Laban comes riding up on him and he takes and catches up to him and he says, you know what? He says, it's in my hand to do you hurt. He says, but the God of your father, so don't do it. Well, if it's in your power to do me hurt, how is it that when my father, my God says don't do it, you got to obey? Because my father is different from your father. Your father don't have any power, or your God's father don't have any power. Hey, guess what? My God, my father's God has all power. Amen. Just like when he got to listen to me, I'm giving you a comparison right now. You ought to be glad that our Father which art in heaven is our Father. You ought to be glad you're a part of the family of God. Somebody say amen. Because our Father has all power. Our Father is all present. Our Father is all knowing. Our Father is immutable. Our Father does not change. Somebody say amen. And God says, this ought to get you some shouting ground. Why? Because there's a world out there that's trying to tell us that we're wasting our time. No, we're not. We got the all-powerful God. We're not wasting our time because we got the all-capable God. Amen. Our God can do anything but fail. And by the way, when our Father speak, the God of our Father speak, listen to me now, the God of their fathers has to shut up. Because our Father is the one. Somebody say amen. God is saying, we today, somehow, some way, we've gotten quiet on him. Why? Because we don't know our Father. And our Father is not like, I'll say to the world, your Father. Matter of fact, listen to me now, he's a deceiver, he's dirty, and he's trying to bring death to your life. Where our Father is a God of mercy and grace. And by the way, his mercies are new every morning. That's our Father. Now, some of us need to get a hold of, some of you dads need to get this today. Because some of you dads need to say, man, maybe my kids aren't saying, that's my Father. We'll get to that in a moment. Maybe some of our kids are probably kind of saying, you know what? That guy's father treat me better than my father treat me. Shouldn't be said in our home. Somebody say amen. So I want to give you some things here real quickly. Back to the text. Go back to Luke if you don't mind. Luke chapter number 15. And I just want to give you a few things about our Father. And you ought to be excited about some of these things that I'm getting ready to give to you. I want to give you some things real quickly. I know I'd like for you to write them down so we can go back and preach them and then keep on moving. I gave you by way of introduction the comparison of our Father to your Father or their Father. Next, I want to give you this, if you don't mind here. I don't want you to just see the comparison. I want you to see the composure of our Father. The composure of our Father. After we look at the composure, I want you to see the coming of our Father. The coming of our Father. And then once we get through with the coming of our Father, I want you to see the celebrating of our Father. The celebrating of our Father. And then next, I want you to get the compassion of our Father. Real quickly, the composure of our Father. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 12. Verse number 12, the Bible says this now. And the younger of them said to his father. The younger of them said to his father. The young one said to his father, drop down to verse number 20 if you don't mind. And he arose and came to his father. He arose and came to his father. Remember now, in verse 12, he came to his father. Now he's going back to his father. You with me? Go down to verse number 28 if you don't mind. The Bible's talking about the older one now here. Because by the way, most of the time we leave the older guy out. We leave him alone. But I want you to see what it said. And he was angry, would not go in. Verse 28. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Boy, I sure hope you get a hold of that. And of course, he talks to his father. And not a good way. In a negative way. Verse number 29. And he answered and said to his father. The first thing I want you to see is the composure of our Father. When we look at this little phrase here, his father. The first one comes, the youngest one comes to his father. He talks to his father. Thank God later on he's coming back to his father. But the Bible lets us know that he's coming back to his father. The father who he went to and said, give me what's mine. The father who he went to and said, watch this now. I wish you were dead, because that's how you got the inheritance. He was looking at him and said, look, how much is in the will? How much is the insurance policy? How much am I supposed to get when you breathe your last breath? So he comes to his father. And he realized he got to go back to the one that's been his father. And he's got to talk to his father. And he's got to take and tell his father that he's sorry. But he's not the only one. The older son comes. The Bible says that the father, his father, comes out to him. Why? Because he's looking at him like just his father. And he starts talking to his father. God is saying, you and I ought to be glad that God is our father. Because most of us, even me, if my sons talked to me that way, if my daughter spoke to me that way, I look at them and say, who in the world you think you talking to? I'm talking about the composure of our father. When I was growing up, I would say, who in the world you talking to? My dad wouldn't say, who in the world you talking to? My dad say, you ain't talking no more. I see we read this text and we don't see that they kept looking at it's his father, his father. In other words, I don't have a close relationship with you. You don't mean that much to me. I'm looking at you and saying, hey, guess what? Just give me what's mine and I'll be out of your hair. Aren't you glad we got a father, our father, even though we talk to him a certain way, even though we treat him a certain way, even though we despise him sometimes. You say, preach, not me. God said, then why is it that when I want something from you or I come to you, you treat me like his father? Have you ever done that to God? I told you, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Because the family of Rob, they say, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. But his father, composure. His father, with this sadness in his heart. The Bible says he devised to them. He's living. His father, that's our father. I wonder how many times our father has been up in heaven. Our father who loves us. Our father who has died, sent his son to die. Our father. I wonder how many times tears are falling from his eyes. How many times his heart has been broken because of the way we've treated him. And he still has composure. You say, preacher, how you know he got composure? If you haven't figured this out, let me help you. You're still alive. My parents said, I brought you in, and I'll... Oh, yours said it too, huh? God's not trying to bruise me anymore. He's not trying to break me. My God's trying to recover me. Somebody said, I'm so glad I'm a part of this family. God, our Father is nice to me. Our Father is kind to me. Our Father is merciful to me. Our Father showed grace toward me. Our Father has composure to where he says, you know what? I don't want you dead. I don't want you dead. I want you living for me, but it can't happen if, get this now, if you dead. It'll never happen if I destroy you. It'll never happen if I just look at you and say, I'm done with you. Snap. Stop breathing. Snap. No more life. Our Father. When's the last time you know you've gone against God, or you know you've spoken to God, or you say, I haven't spoken to God like this here, boy. Maybe you just ignored him. When the last time when you came home, when you got right with God, you said, thank God, our Father. Of course, as I approach you as his father, I spoke to you in a way of you just his father, and with contempt and with saying, you know what, I wish you were dead. Just give me what I want. Sometimes in prayer, that's what we do. You give me what I want, and then I'll be done with you. I came to you because I got a need. Matter of fact, I know a lot of people that are mad with God because he haven't given them what they want. I know a lot of people like that. I wonder if there could be somebody in here that said before, I've been angry with God because he didn't do it my way. You know, that's what the younger son is saying. Here's what he's basically saying here. You know what? Give me the other son, remember? I can't even walk without him holding my hand. But I'm going to give it a shot. Give me my stuff and I'll prove to you I don't need you, our Father. Has there been a time in your life like that? Now again, I know most of us will never say, oh, now, I mean, remember, I've never had God walk away from me. But I sure enough walked away from him. I've never had God say, you know what, I'm going to strike you down right now. But I basically said to God, listen, you can do whatever you want to me. I kind of been like a Jonah. I don't want to do what you want me to do. So I'm going to flee from your presence. Oh, by the way, how is that working out, getting out of the presence of God, Jonah? Yeah, I know where you at on that boat. As a matter of fact, I know where you at on that boat, and I'm taking you off of that boat. Now you're in the sea. Oh, but I still know where you're at in the sea. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to send a whale down there to pick you up. Oh, I know where you're at in that whale. You can't get away from God. Matter of fact, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 11, let us know. You can't get anywhere. You can't get to the depths. You can't get to the deep. You can't get any distance. You can't go anywhere without God knowing where you're at. Now watch this now. There's people in this world, if they can find certain people, they let them have it. And God is not looking for you because he knows where you're at and he still won't let you have it. Thank God for the composure of our Father. Number next, write this down if you don't mind. I told you what to write down, so we'll keep on moving here. Not only do we see the composure of our Father, but number three, I told you about the coming of our Father. The coming of our Father. Look down again in the text in Luke chapter number 15, and the Bible lets us know, which is now, the coming of our Father. And you see it, and this little phrase here, my Father. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of what? My Father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my Father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So make me as one of thy hired servants. But the Bible says to us there in verse number 20, let me flip back over here real quickly. In verse number 20, Bible says that he arose and he came to his father. Remember that now. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. So the Bible says when he came to himself, what happened was is that he took and went and said, I'm going to my Father. But here's what happened. When he was going to my Father, or his Father, or now our Father, the Father saw him and the Father said, hey, here's my boy coming now. I'm so glad that we have our Father. When you and I recognize him as my Father, oh, you didn't get that, did you? The son said, I'm going to go to my Father. But he'd been speaking to him like his Father. But now all of a sudden, he says, no, that's my Father. And when he started going to my, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my Father. And when his Father, who is now my Father, saw him, the Father, come on now, started running toward him and said, I'm glad you're home. What are you trying to say, preacher? Aren't you glad that this is our Father? Write it down, James chapter 4, in verse number 8. Most of you know the verse, but I don't think we get what just happened right here. His Father, who now he says is my Father, who now sees him coming, and the Father, come on now. You know what happened? He starts coming toward the Father, and then the Father sees him. And the Father says, stop. No, he didn't say that. The Father said, I need to hear you. No, he didn't say that. The Bible says when he saw him, he came to him. James 4, verse number 8 says, if you draw nigh to God, he draw nigh to you. Aren't you glad that's our Father? You know what our Father is saying? Oh, my mercies are new every morning. And to prove it, I want to let you know something here. There's nothing between. I know the song says me and my Savior, but aren't you glad that God said there's nothing between you and me right now? You're coming and I'm coming. You're coming and I'm coming. You draw nigh and I'm drawing nigh to you. Thank God for our Father. Whew. When I read that, and I had a Holy Ghost fit. Could I remember when I decided to go back home and do what God called me to do? You want to know something? It didn't take me getting all the way back home. I was able to go to my wife and told her what God wanted for my life. And I was shouting again. And I was running again. And I was joy again in my soul. Whew. Why? Because my Father saw His Son who was trying to get right with Him. And He said, you know what? I'm not going to make you come all the way. I'm going to meet you. Every step you take, I'm going to take. Because remember, He was in a hog pen. He was out in a far country. And the Father saw Him coming. So He had to leave where He was at to get to where the Father was. And the Father knew again, our Heavenly Father sees everything. But there's a space where God says, He meant it. He meant it. You say, preacher, I don't see any real repentance in this. The Bible says you draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Here's what He said. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He saw our Father. I don't know what this Father really saw fully, but our Father sees how sad we are. Seriously. He sees this real getting right. We can call it repentance, this changing of our mind. Because at first He said, give me my stuff. And now He says, I'm coming home. And our Father says, come on, you're welcome. And He said, I'm going to tell him how much I messed up and tell him how I've sinned and tell him how I've done this and that. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I looked at that and I started saying, that's how He's treated me. That's what He's done for me. Somebody say amen. Our Father is a Father of, listen now, composure. Our Father is a Father who's looking for you to start coming. And when you start coming, when you start coming down these aisles, and when you start coming to fall on your knees, I need you to understand something. God's not waiting for you to get to the altar. What God has done, brother, is He's met us somewhere back here. He wrapped His arms around us and said, I'm glad you're home, amen. And I'm glad He does that. Why? Because it's hard. And I'm trying to let you know, you're not walking these aisles alone. You're not getting right by yourself. There's a God who sees your heart. And He knows that you finally said, that was wrong. That was a mess up. That was mistreating you. But our Father, my Father, still comes to me. Aren't you glad? Because you say, preacher, I don't get it. Okay, think about it. People do us wrong. Here's what you say. I'm waiting on them. When I see that they're serious, then maybe I'll forgive them. I'm so glad our Father just wants to see us coming, wants to hear us say, I've sinned. Come on, somebody. And most of us, we got to make them jump through hoops. So here's what we do. If we'd have been this Father, here's what we said. Okay, you stay around here for a week. You clean the stalls. You take and make sure that the servants, you eat with them. Not our Father. Our Father comes to us, meet us where we are, and does everything that needs to be done to put us back in the position that we were because He loves us. Somebody say amen. Our Father is coming. Our Father, with this now, get this now, get this. Our Father is trying to teach us some stuff. What's that? I'm approachable. When you see the Father coming and the Father is running to Him, here's what the Father is saying. Son, I'm approachable. Come on. And then He says, I'm going to make sure you know I'm accessible. Now again, sometimes we know that people are approachable, but they're not available to us. No, I'm accessible. I'm available to you. And please, this, I'm aware of where you've been. Did you hear what I said? I'm approachable. I'm accessible. Listen to me now. And I am aware you've been in a hog pen. You've been living like a hog. I'll put it this way in vernacular. Maybe we can get, you've been living like a dog. Well, we don't like that, do we? That means we haven't been living the way God wants us to live. We've been running around doing all kind of things that God is saying. Whew, my children shouldn't live like that, but I know you have been. The Bible said he had wasted it with riotous living. The son said he'd been with harlots. He'd been, and you still let him back? Yeah, because of our Father. Somebody say amen. Not only do we see again his composure, and not only do we see his coming, but I hope you wrote this down. We see the celebrating. We see the celebrating. Watch this now. We're dealing with our Father, but we see it again with his Father, and then we see my Father. But look at verse number 21, if you don't mind. Verse 21. The Bible says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But get this now, the Father said to his servants. What did he say to his servants? He said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want you to write it down. I got to keep hurrying along. When he comes to his father, who now, the Bible says, but the father, in verse 22, the father, he said to his servant, he said, I want you to give me a robe and put it on him. I want you to give me a ring and put it on him. I want you to give me some shoes and put on his feet. And I want you to give me a calf and kill it. There's no coldness toward the son, no callousness, no chastisement. The robe is a robe of purity. He's now white as snow. The ring is a ring of privilege. He now is in the family again. The shoes are saying, you got a position, you're not a slave. And the calf is saying, let's have a party. I don't know about you, but my Father, our Father, is a Father who, when he forgives, he does it totally. Whew. Not cold toward me, no callousness, no standing off, no pushing away. But he says, time to celebrate. If you read Luke 15, you've realized every time something was found, they brought some people together and they celebrated. I want you to realize, if you get right with God, heaven is not up there saying, finally. The Bible says there's joy. Rejoice in the presence of God. Amen. There's a celebration going on in the presence of God. Now, and I believe when God talks about that, and we go back and read and make sure I get the statement of it right there, but I believe it's God himself celebrating. Not just the people up there, because they don't even understand all this. But I think up in heaven, God is saying, yeah, ooh, that's my boy. He was lost, now he was found. He was the one that they said was dead, but he's alive. Amen. Whew. That's our Father. How do you know that, preacher? Because I know when I came home, God didn't hold anything against me. God, matter of fact, I believe with all my heart, started a party. Let me get the last thing here. The compassion. And this is one I think most of us need to really get a hold of. Look at verse number 26. And he called one of the servants. That's the older son. And he asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Now watch this. We've seen his father. We've seen my father. We've seen the Father. Now, here's what the servant said in verse 27. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father. What? He have killed the fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound. And we know how he treated his father. But thank God that the servant said, but let me tell you something you don't know about your father now. What's that? Your brother is home. And thy father said, let's have a party. Can I ask you a question? How do you act when people want to get right with God and even get right with you? Well, I ain't live like that. Matter of fact, let me just do it this way. Some of us are like the publican saying, I'm so glad I'm not like him. Remember, he was standing proud and tall, and the little sinner was down there. I mean, the Pharisee, sorry about that, was standing tall, and the publican was down on his knees. God says, you stinking, rotten Pharisees. Put ourselves above people. I want you to understand how thy Father would do it. Thy Father has control, composure. Thy Father is willing to come and meet your brother. Thy Father is celebrating because thy Father has had compassion. Well, what about you? The whole thing wraps up, brother. Most of us leave the second son out. And the servant said, you don't know your daddy like we do. I don't want to take you over there. I took the class in Sunday school over there earlier, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, the Bible says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can I be perfect like him? How about this here? Maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive. Maybe there's somebody again. You understand what it's like to be able to come back into the grace of God. And Bible says, ye which are spiritual, because he said, I've never done, so ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Galatians 6 says spirit of meekness. And it says, you need to consider yourself. Because guess what? Nobody's perfect except our Father. Let me tell you how our perfect Father handles it. He says, come home. Come home. Ye that are weary, come home. And he lets us come. Is there a relationship that you are having today where you're struggling with letting people come home? Our Father allows it. God says, be ye perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. You say, preacher, everybody's all right. Well, until that next time. To that next issue. To that next situation. So I just want to take and close it, but actually this here. When it comes to you interact, God's interacting with us. Are we okay with that? When you come to interacting with people, what kind of composure do you have? Oh, you let them say something to me. I got a few choice words for them, too. You wish I was dead? I wish you was double dead. His Father. Remember how he talked? His Father. I said, how about the relationship? How do you again respond to people who respond to you in a negative way? Remember, we got the Father coming to him. He sees him coming. And you know what he does? He doesn't make him run all the way down the driveway or walk all the way up the driveway like this. I sure hope everything's going to be all right. That's almost like Jacob and Esau. I wonder what he's going to do. You want to know something? I'm so glad. Esau said, boy, everything all right. But I wonder if everything was all right, because later on you find their families are still at odds with Hatfields and McCoys. Have you stopped the feuding so that the next generation is not still in your feud and they don't even know what they're fighting over? Yeah, we can poison the next generation. But our Father didn't cause his Son to be poisoned on the cross. Our Father had his Son come and die for us. And his Son didn't say, well, they disappointed you and they let you down and they ran from you. I'm not going to that cross for them. No, he went all the way. He set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. And when he got up there, they was messing with him. He said, Father, forgive them. Whew, they don't know what they're doing. God says, when are you and I going to start coming to meet people instead of making them run all the way. And when are we going to start celebrating again? Because here's what some of us do. I forgave them. I forgave them. Move over there a little bit, brother. Just move just a little bit. I forgave them. Oh. There ain't no other seat. No celebrating. No friendship. No encouragement. Because he needs to know. The son needs to know. Everything's all right. Hey, how about this? Let me give you a robe. It's cleaned up. I'm not holding it. And there's no more debt. That's what the robe said. No more. It's over with. How about let me let you have a ring? I want you to understand something here. You can talk to me anytime. You can come to me anytime. I'll share with you. You can share with me. Why? Because the fact of the matter is, I want to help you. I want to pray for you. And you don't have to think that you're a second-class citizen with me. That's why you got some shoes on your feet. We're both on the same level. And then, now again, this had to be me. Can I come to your house and eat your calf? Because I don't have one. We don't even want to fellowship with each other anymore. I tell my Our Father is trying to get us to look at him and decide how we're going to handle relationships and people. Are you going to? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Oh, not just because I've been washed, and not just because that. Because guess what? Now I know how to help others that are in the family. I know how to treat you. Some of us in here today, listen to me now. You're going to leave out of here after hearing this message and still be negative people. Still not try to mend and reconcile. Why? Because I heard that's God. He's God, not me. God, let God forgive him because I'm going to kill him. Is that maybe the way we do things? Can we do better? Some of us ought to just run to this old altar here in a moment and say, God, meet me. And God says, if you get up, I'm already there. Like I said, I got my arm around you. You get right, I'm there to help you.